Today on the Gary Zimak Show, we'll take a look at the Sacrament of Confirmation and we'll reflect on the daily Mass reading. Stay right there. It's coming right up. Hey there. Welcome to the program. It's another week on the Gary Zimak Show. I am back in town. How are you doing? How'd you make out last week? Did you do okay? As you probably know, if you're a regular listener to this program, I've been traveling. I was at the Catholic Marketing Network trade show for most of last week in Somerset, New Jersey, which is a blast. If you followed me on Facebook, you saw a lot of the great pictures that I put up. While I was there, I got to tape an episode of Bookmark for EWTN-TV, got to speak to the Catholic Writers Guild, got to meet lots of cool people. And right after that, I headed on a plane and was in Chicago over the weekend, well, technically Naperville, Illinois, which is a Chicago suburb, to speak at the IHM Homeschool Conference. And I'm here for a few days, which is good. I can chill out, relax a little bit, get caught up. And then on Thursday, it's back up, back on the road, where I head up to Dobbs Ferry, New York, for another IHM Homeschool Conference. So if you're in that area, Dobbs Ferry area, please stop on by. You can find out the information about the homeschool conference by viewing my website, followingthetruth.com. Admission is free, so I would love to have you come up, even if you're not a homeschooler. Check it out. I don't think you'll disappoint. You'll be disappointed. I'll have my books for sale, and we could chat. You know, I love, one of the great things that I love to do is to travel around the country and meet folks like you. It's just a real pleasure to put faces to the names and to remind myself that we're all friends. We're all family, really, because we're all part of the body of Christ. It's a great blessing to be able to do that. So if you're ever in the area, in an area where I might be speaking, please make sure you stop on by. And if you'd like me to come to your parish, all you need to do is visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and check out the contact information. You can look at the list of my talks and find out how to invite me to your parish. Or you could send me an email, gary@followingthetruth.com. But I am back in town. We got lots of good stuff today. I've got my beverage du jour. I'm going to start right off with that. Today's beverage du jour is some Mystic Monk decaf, Vespers decaf coffee. Great blend. Good stuff. I hope you've got a nice beverage. Hope you got a good snack, because we're going to look at some good things today. We're going to take a look at the Mass readings for Monday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time. We are at that halfway point, really. Because there are 34 weeks in the liturgical year, 33 weeks in Ordinary Time. The final week is the final Sunday in Ordinary Time. We celebrate the Solemnity of Christ the King. So there are 34 weeks. We're at the halfway point before we get into Advent, but I'm not going to rush things. In the second part of the show, our Monday feature, we're looking at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Today, we will continue our walk through the sacraments. We'll look at the Sacrament of Confirmation. And we're doing it briefly. We're using the Compendium of the Catechism, which is a document put out by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's a simple question and answer version of the Catechism. It works really nicely for the show. Now, I want to give you a piece of news. You're going to hear a lot more about this, and I will do at least one show very soon to tell you more about this. Total consecration to Jesus through Mary. You know that I do it every year. I've done it for the past 4 years. This year is going to be no exception. Whether you are renewing your consecration, whether you're making it for the first time, doesn't matter. The process is the same. We will do the 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't get any easier than this. So if you are interested in doing this, if you would like to grow closer to Jesus Christ in your daily life, I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend that you do this, that you take advantage of total consecration. This was a method made popular by St. Louis de Montfort back in the 18th century. We're going to once again use the book. I've used several different books on this show, several different methods to prepare. We're going to use 33 Days to Morning Glory, the book by Father Michael Gately, which is a very popular version, very simple, very easy to understand. And really, we're going to go through this. And we will begin on September the 4th. I've been promising you the date. Well, that's the date it's going to start. It's a Friday. And then what we'll do is go 33 straight days, including weekends. So we begin on that Friday. We go right through. 30-minute show each night. That's all we're doing. I'm going to try to fit in some scripture too as well. depending on how long the meditations are. So it really isn't that difficult. And then you're prepared during this 33-day journey. And then on October the 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, we will make our total consecration, or renew our total consecration to Jesus through Mary. So while I was at the Catholic Marketing Network trade show, I talked to my buddy Ray Mooney, who works for Tony Mullen's group, MyConsecration.org. Now, you may be aware that they've been providing free consecration materials, including Father Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. Well, they have sent out so many copies that they, unfortunately, and this is totally reasonable, need to charge for it now. But it's a very reasonable fee. I think it's $2 plus maybe shipping. It is not a outrageous fee at all. And they will send you the book that you need. It's a smaller version. I think it's got the same material as the one Father Michael Gately did, 33 Days to Morning Glory. This one is more practical because it's smaller, it's lighter in weight, and we're going to use this on the program. So we're going to kick it off on September the 4th. Stay tuned for more information. I'll try to get you the info in plenty of time so that you can order your book and you'll be all ready to start on the 4th of September. Because invariably what happens every year, we get ready to get started and somebody doesn't have their book, and that can be a real problem. So that's generally my fault because I start the preparation too late. I'm thinking about it this year, so I'm going to get it in motion very soon. So stay tuned. Keep your eye on followingthetruth.com for more information. I will blog about it, and I will talk about it on this radio show. And I plan to try to publicize it in as many ways as I can on Catholic radio, on various Catholic blogs, whatever I can do to get the word out about total consecration and the fact that we're doing it together. I'm going to do that, all right? But if you have questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, he says as he takes a sip of his Mystic Monk coffee. Let's pray, and then we're going to get right into the Mass readings for today. I'm excited about these readings. Sometimes, unintentionally, the Bible can be very funny. You're going to hear a story today that I just love, because I think that when it comes to lame excuses, this is one of the lamest lame excuses that you're ever going to hear. You've heard a lot of them in Scripture, but this is a classic. We're going to get to that in a minute. So let's pray right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day to love you, to serve you, to know you. Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen us and be with us, help us to walk with you on the road which one day will lead to eternal life in heaven. We're very grateful for the many gifts that you've given to us. We're grateful for your gift of your Son, Jesus, who redeemed us by dying on the cross and rising for the dead. Father, we are very grateful for the fact that you love us with an unconditional love, that you will never forget us, that no matter how many times we mess up, you are always there for us to welcome us back. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask you to please use us in any way that you need to. We are at your service. I turn this program over to you now, Father, and I ask you to take over. Whatever you want to say, please feel free to speak through me. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Father, we ask you to bless those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those dealing with addiction, those suffering from religious persecution, those who are dealing with weather problems, financial issues. We ask you to help all of these people. And we ask you to accept our own personal needs, our own intentions. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast our anxieties on you because you care for us. So we're going to do that now. Instead of worrying about these things, we're going to cast them on you to ask you to handle our problems for us. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you now and ask for your help. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you again for joining me today on the show. You know the deal. There's always a chair at the table for you. Each night here on the Gary Zimak Show, we get together. We hang out for 30 minutes on Blog Talk Radio. We talk about Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. Great privilege for me to be able to do that. And it really is an honor to have you join me each night. You know, I'm very grateful for your presence, for your prayers, for your financial contributions so that we can keep this program going. I'm grateful for all of these things. And let's get right to it, okay? Let's start talking about these Mass readings for Monday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time. Now, I told you in the first reading, there's a very lame excuse, and I want to read this to you because it is a gem. It is a gem of an excuse, and I think you're going to really get a kick out of it. The book of Exodus, chapter 32, beginning in verse 15. Moses turned and came down the mountain with the two tablets of the commandments in his hands, tablets that were written on both sides, front and back, tablets that were made by God, having inscriptions on them that were engraved by God himself. Now when Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "That sounds like a battle in the camp." But Moses answered, "It does not sound like cries of victory, nor does it sound like cries of defeat. The sounds that I hear are cries of revelry." As he drew near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. With that, Moses' wrath flared up so that he threw the tablets down and broke them on the base of the mountain. Taking the calf they had made, he fused it in the fire and then ground it down to powder, which he scattered on the water and made the children of Israel drink. Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people ever do to you that you should lead them into so grave a sin?" Aaron replied, "Let not my Lord be angry. You know well enough how prone the people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us a God to be our leader.' For as for the man Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him." So I told him, "Let anyone who has gold jewelry take it off." They gave it to me. I threw it into the fire, and this calf came out. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a grave sin. I will go up to the Lord then. Perhaps I may be able to make atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Ah, this people has indeed committed a grave sin in making a god of gold for themselves. If you would only forgive their sin. If you will not, then strike me out of the book that you have written." The Lord answered, "Him only who has sinned against me will I strike out of my book. Now go and lead the people to the place I have told you. My angel will go before you. When it's time for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." As we read this story, the people made a golden calf. And you know, idol worship was a big problem back in the time of Moses and the Israelites. It was a big problem. There were many people going around worshiping idols. And here we have the Israelites. The minute Moses turns his back to go up and receive the Ten Commandments from God, what happens? Aaron helps these people to build a golden calf. But I love his excuse. Isn't it classic the way that he describes it? I threw this gold. He tells them to take off their gold, throws it into the fire, and guess what happens? This calf just happens to come out. You talk about a lame excuse, but isn't it just like us to make excuses for why we do things that we do? Poor Moses. This guy really had to have some patience to deal with these knuckleheads. But what did he do? He went back up the mountain. He was mad. So he broke the tablets. He went back up to the mountain. And he was going to intercede for the people because he realized what a serious sin this was. Idol worship's a serious sin, especially back in the Lord's time. And it was a real temptation. And essentially, the Lord, in his mercy, you know, we talk about his forgiveness, his compassion, his unlimited mercy, unconditional love, he said, "Continue going on. The plan doesn't change. Continue going on. Let me deal with whoever I have to punish when it's time to punish." So this is what we need to remember, that God is a God of love and mercy, that if we are sorry for our sins, We need to do that. We need to repent. But if we are, the Lord will accept us back into the fold, that he will forgive us. That's why the sacrament of confession is such a great thing. So let's try to continue to remember to stay on the right path. But when we fall, let's not make excuses. Let's admit that we were wrong. You know, Aaron saying, well, I just threw everything into the fire. It came out as a calf. No, Aaron needs to own up to this. These people seem desperate. And as soon as Moses leaves, they make this big mistake. Let's own up to our sins and tell the Lord we're sorry. And the sacrament of confession is really great for that. The responsorial psalm. And remember that we pray to God alone. We don't have false idols in our lives, including the idol of comfort, of material possessions, of respect from other people. A lot of times that becomes an idol. I don't want to say anything really too religious because then I'm going to lose the respect of my friends. Well, either you get their respect now, which is going to be fickle and could change any minute, or you're going to have to explain to God why you didn't speak out and defend him against so many people who are attacking him in the world. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 106, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Our fathers made a calf in Horeb and adored a molten image. They exchanged their glory for the image of a grass-eating bullock. They forgot the God who had saved them, who had done great deeds in Egypt. Wondrous deeds in the land of Ham, terrible things at the Red Sea. Then he spoke of exterminating them, but Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach to turn back his destructive wrath. Don't forget, keep your eye focused on the Lord, but when you mess up, go to confession and everything will be okay. It's not the end of the world when you sin. You want to try to avoid sin with God's help as much as possible. When you do sin, don't fall into despair. The gospel is Matthew 13, verses 31 through 35. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it's the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the world. Now here's the deal. We want to remember one thing. Kingdom of heaven, sometimes we think about heaven as being something that we will be able to access or see when we die. But the kingdom of heaven, you got to remember this about the kingdom of heaven. If we open to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, it's sometimes called the kingdom of God, sometimes called the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom's here now. Sure, we hope to live with the Lord in heaven one day in the future after we die, but the kingdom is alive right now. The kingdom is here. It's in a veiled appearance, so we might not see it easily, but this is where Jesus reminds us that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. And if we look at it, we can almost begin to think that the kingdom isn't really here, because it's very hard to see. That requires a little work on our part. Our part is to pray, to receive the sacraments, and to tell people about Jesus, because our job as Christians is to share Jesus with others. Okay? We need to share Jesus with other people. And we can't worry about the details. It's not us. It's not up to us to make it a success. On the other hand, our job is to plant the seeds. Let the Holy Spirit take care of letting the seeds grow. But our job is to plant the seeds and not get discouraged. Okay, so let's do that. Let's continue to keep moving forward. Sound good? And one day, God willing, we'll all end up in heaven. That's the hope. It's not a guarantee. But if you stick with the Lord every day, and don't be like the bozos who were worshiping a golden calf, and keep worshiping the one true God, then you will be able to get to heaven. One of the reasons we do total consecration to Jesus through Mary is to make sure that we stay on the right track. This is what the Blessed Mother will do for you. She exists. Her role is to bring you closer to her son, Jesus. So if you think that maybe you need a little help there, and guess what? We all do. Then Mary is the go-to person for that. There is no reason why we wouldn't want to make this total consecration. It changes lives. It's changed my life, and I know many people whose lives were changed for the better when they made it. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, we're looking at the sacraments. We're going through the catechism, or actually the compendium of the catechism, which is a question and answer form of the catechism. It was published by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. Nice little book. Cost $14.95 at the time I bought it. I do not know if the price has gone up. This is several years old, this copy. But the first printing was March 2006, to give you an idea. I like this book for the show because it can summarize very succinctly the teachings contained in the catechism. So we're going through the sacraments one by one. We looked at baptism last week. Today we'll look at the sacrament of confirmation. Very much misunderstood sacrament. You're probably listening saying, I don't really know if I fully understand confirmation. I think the best we can do is say confirmation, Holy Spirit. Somehow they're related. But let's look at this. What, and this is question 265, what place does confirmation have in the divine plan of salvation? In the Old Testament, the prophets announced that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on the awaited Messiah and on the entire Messianic people. The whole life and mission of Jesus were carried out in total communion with the Holy Spirit. The apostles received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and proclaimed the mighty works of God. They gave the gift of that same Spirit to the newly baptized by the laying on of hands. Down through the centuries, the Church has continued to live by the Spirit and to impart him to her children. So let me read some of these questions and we'll try to summarize it all. I don't want to cover something that's going to be covered later. Why is the sacrament called chrismation or confirmation? It's called chrismation in the Eastern churches because the essential rite of the sacrament is anointing with chrism. It is called confirmation because it confirms and strengthens baptismal grace. So really it's a two-parter. Baptism, confirmation, they go hand in hand. We don't necessarily recognize that. We get a little confused because many of us receive our baptism as infants, and then confirmation, we're in anywhere from 5th to 7th grade when we receive confirmation. But it really does complete the sacrament of baptism. Let me go on. What is the essential rite of confirmation? The essential rite of confirmation is the anointing with sacred chrism, which is done by the laying on of the hands of the minister, who pronounces the sacramental words proper to the rite. In the West, this anointing is done on the forehead of the baptized with the words, "Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit." In the Eastern churches of the Byzantine Rite, this anointing is also done on other parts of the body with the words, "The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit." What is the effect of confirmation? The effect of confirmation is a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit like that of Pentecost. So keep that in mind. The effect of the sacrament of confirmation is a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit like that of Pentecost. This outpouring impresses on the soul an indelible character, meaning something that can't be removed, and produces a growth in the grace of baptism. So you see that you have a growth in the grace that you already received at baptism. It roots the recipient more deeply in divine sonship, binds him more firmly to Christ and to the Church, and reinvigorates the gift of the Holy Spirit in his soul. It gives a special strength to witness to the Christian faith. Reinvigorates the gifts of the Holy Spirit in his soul. Now, we already received those when we were baptized, but it reinvigorates it. It stirs up these gifts, and It gives a special strength to witness to the Christian faith. So if you're somebody who tends to be a little wishy-washy, like me, as I've always been, a little timid to evangelize, which is pretty funny considering what I do for a living now, but that was always my nature. Confirmation can give you the strength to go out there and stand up for Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. So we've got that intangible, that invisible gift, which helps us to defend the faith. We might not be able to see it. We might not be able to put our hands on it. But that gift can help us. Who can receive this sacrament? Only those already baptized can and should receive the sacrament, which can only be received once. To receive confirmation efficaciously, the candidate must be in the state of grace, meaning no mortal sin. So if you're in the state of mortal sin, what's going to happen in the sacrament of confirmation is the grace that you get is blocked. You go to confession, it'll get unblocked. But you want to be really careful about that when you receive confirmation to be in the state of grace. And you have already needed to be baptized because it completes what you got in baptism. Finally, who is the minister of confirmation? The original minister of confirmation is the bishop. In this way, the link between the confirmed and the church in her apostolic dimension is made manifest. When a priest confers the sacrament, as ordinarily happens in the East, and in special cases in the West, the link with the bishop and the church is expressed by the priest, who is the collaborator of the bishop, and by the sacred chrism consecrated by the bishop himself. Now, what I've been noticing more and more, and it happened with my girls too, is that because the bishop can't necessarily make it to all the parishes, we can have priests who administer the sacrament of confirmation, which is what we're seeing. That is valid in special cases. Ordinarily, the minister of the sacrament of confirmation is the bishop. But practically speaking, sometimes that's just not possible. You see more and more cases where the bishop himself is not administering the sacrament, which is valid. The bishop can authorize a priest. Sometimes it's one of his assistants, somebody who works for him at the diocesan level, to go out and do the confirmation. But look at it this way, though. Confirmation completes the grace that you received at baptism, and it strengthens you to be able to be, we used to call it a soldier of Christ. Remember that? I don't know if you remember it, but when I was growing up, that's what we were called. We were called a soldier of Christ because we can go out there and defend the faith. And we are made, essentially, it marks a new beginning for us as spiritual adults, adult Catholics. And, you know, some of that terminology is not used anymore, but it's important. Confirmation gives you what you need to get out there. And number one, learn about the faith. You've got to learn it, too. It just doesn't mystically appear in your head. You've got to learn it. So you're doing that. We're talking about it on the show. You're probably doing some reading. I hope you're doing some reading. And eventually what happens is you begin to learn with the help of the Holy Spirit about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. And then you get that grace that you need to go out there and share it with others. Does that mean you will never mess up or back yourself into a corner? No, it does not. You're going to run into trouble. But don't get too hung up on that because you are not responsible for the effectiveness of your words. You plant the seeds. Let the Holy Spirit water the seeds. So many times I've given talks or I've explained things to people and I think, man, did I mess that up? But yet it still would bear fruit. Trust in the Lord to do the heavy lifting, okay? If you have any questions, we are just about out of time. You know where to find me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Tomorrow is Tuesday. We're going to open up the Imitation of Christ and we're all going to learn how to imitate Christ. So God willing, I plan to be back here, and I really hope you can be here as well. Remember, there's a seat for you here. You bring your beverage, you bring your snack, and we hang out for 30 minutes and talk about Jesus. Just a final reminder, total consecration preparation will begin here on Friday, September the 4th. There will be some shows before that where I will explain what is going on or give you a little refresher about the total consecration preparation. Stay tuned for more information. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Hope you have a wonderful night. God bless you. And God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care. God bless.